So a reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 13, the advent of Lord Chaitanya. And there's a description in this chapter of all the build-up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance here in these verses. Sachimata's telling her husband that she's having some unusual experiences. She says that she sees wonderful, brilliant human beings appearing in outer space as if offering prayers. Of course, this would be discounted these days as some sort of hallucination or hoax, but that's because people are tend to be very agnostic or atheistic in this culture. But Sachimata has been not just compared to, is actually described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a demigoddess. So her visionary capacity is different than the ordinary person's. Anyway, so the verse that's on the board is the first of the three verses, and the purport's in the third verse, 86. So Jagannath Mishra then replied, "In a dream, I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart." Text 85. Amara hridaya hoite gela tomara hridaye hena bhuji janmi bhena kona maha shaye. From my heart it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth. And text 86. Eta bhali dunhe rahe harashita hanya shalagrama seva kare vishesha kariya. After this conversation, both husband and wife were very jubilant, and together they rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. Purport. Especially in every Brahmana's house, there must be a Shalagram Shila to be worshipped by the Brahmana family. This system is still current. People who are Brahmana by caste, who are born in a Brahmana family, must worship the Shalagram Shila. Unfortunately, with the progress of Kali Yuga, the so-called Brahmanas, although very proud of taking birth in Brahmana families, no longer worship the Shalagram Shila. But actually, it has been a custom since time immemorial that a person born in a Brahmana family must worship the Shalagram Shila in all circumstances. In our Krishna consciousness society, some of the members are very anxious to introduce the Shalagram Shila. But we have purposely refrained from introducing it because most of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement do not originally come from families of the Brahmana caste. After some time, when we find that they are actually situated strictly in the line of Brahminical behavior, this Shalagram Shila will be introduced. Anyone won't comment on that yet? In this age, the worship of the Shalagram Shila is not as important as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That is the injunction of the Shastra. Harir nama, harir nama, harir nama eva kevalam, kalo nasjeva 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 gatiranyata. Srila Jiva Goswami's opinion is that by chanting the holy name offenselessly, one becomes completely perfect. Nevertheless, just to purify the situation of the mind, worship of the deity in the temple is also necessary. Therefore, when one is advanced in spiritual consciousness or is perfectly situated on a spiritual platform, he may take to the worship of the Shalagram Shila. So this is an interesting description of the qualification for worshiping Shalagram Shila. Was one is advanced in spiritual consciousness, and then he further clarifies, or is perfectly situated on a spiritual platform. this is not so easy. perfectly situated on the spiritual platform. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhakti labhate param. And actually, in the description of the different stages of devotional service, to come to the platform of nishtha, firmly fixed, means undeviating. Just like when it describes Raghunathas Goswami, it stated that the lines of his service were like the lines on a rock. It's like if you have a rock and there's some striations or marks on that rock, they're fixed. They don't change. So that means when your worship is unbroken. For the service to be unbroken means you more or less have to be on the liberated platform. So I think it's a little cautionary. People who are very eager to worship Shalagram Shila, that's fine if you're not ever going to deviate from that standard of daily, without any deviation, worshiping. Anyway, to continue, the transferring of the Lord from the heart of Jagannath Mishra to the heart of Sachimata is explained by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as follows. Quote, "It is to be concluded that Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata are Nitya Siddhas, ever purified associates of the Lord. Their hearts are always uncontaminated, and therefore they never forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A common man in this material world has a contaminated heart. He must therefore first purify his heart to come to the transcendental position. But Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata were not a common man and woman with contaminated hearts. When the heart is uncontaminated, it is said to be in the existential position of Vasudev. Vasudev can beget Vasudev, or Krishna, who is transcendentally situated." End quote. It is to be understood that Saji Devi did not become pregnant as an ordinary woman becomes pregnant because of sense indulgence. One should not think the pregnancy of Sachimata to be that of an ordinary woman, because that is an offense. One can understand the pregnancy of Sachimata when one is actually advanced in spiritual consciousness and fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.16, it is stated, "Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha avisheshangsha bhagena mana anakundundube." This is a statement regarding the birth of Lord Krishna. The incarnation of the Lord entered the mind of Vasudev and was then transferred to the mind of Devaki. Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following annotation in this connection. "Mana avivesha manasya virabhabhuva jivanam ivana dhatu sambandha ityartaha." There was no question of the seminal discharge necessary for the birth of an ordinary human being. Srila Rupa Goswami also comments in this connection that Lord Krishna first appeared in the mind of Anakundundubi, Vasudev, and was then transferred to the mind of Devaki Devi. Thus, the spiritual bliss in the mind of Devaki Devi gradually increased, just as the moon increases every night until it becomes a full moon. At the time of his appearance, Lord Krishna came out of the mind of Devaki and appeared within the prison house of Kamsa by the side of Devaki's bed. At that time, by the spell of Yogamaya, Devaki thought that her child had now been born. In this connection, even the demigods from the celestial kingdom were also bewildered. As it is stated, Muhyanti yat surayaha, Bhagavatam 1.1.1. So that section of the that verse refers to the bewilderment of the higher beings and the higher planets. They came to offer their prayers to Devaki, thinking that the Supreme Lord was within her womb. The demigods came to Mathura from their celestial kingdom. This indicates that Mathura is still more important than the celestial kingdom of the upper planetary system. Lord Krishna, as the eternal son of Yasoda Mayi, is always present in Vrindavan. The pastimes of Lord Krishna are continuously going on within both this material world and the spiritual world. In such pastimes, the Lord always thinks himself the eternal son of Mother Yashoda and Father Nanda Maharaj. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verse 43, it is stated, quote, "When magnanimous, broad-hearted Nanda Maharaj came back from a tour, he immediately took his son Krishna on his lap and experienced transcendental bliss by smelling his head." Similarly, in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 21, it is said, quote, "This personality of Godhead appearing as the son of a cowherd damsel is easily available and understandable to devotees, whereas those who are under the concept of bodily life, even though they are very advanced in austerity and penance, or even though they are great philosophers, are unable to understand him." Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur next quotes Sripad Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who refers to the prayers offered by the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb of Devaki, and summarizes the birth of Krishna as follows, quote, "As the rising moon manifests light in the east, so Devaki, who was always situated on the transcendental platform, having been initiated in the Krishna mantra by Vasudeva, the son of Surasena, kept Krishna within her heart." From this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.18, it is understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having been transferred from the heart of Anakundundubi or Vasudeva, manifested himself in the heart of Devaki. According to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, the, quote, "heart of Devaki," end quote, means the womb of Devaki, because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 41, the demigods say, "Dishyamba te kukshi gatha para puman," quote, "Mother Devaki, the Lord is already within your womb," end quote. Therefore, that the Lord was transferred from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki means that he was transferred to the womb of Devaki. Similarly, in regard to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the words "Vishesha Sevana Kori Govinda Charana," meaning they specifically began to worship the lotus feet of Govinda, indicate that exactly as Krishna appeared in the heart of Devaki through the heart of Vasudeva, so Lord Chaitanya appeared in the heart of Sachi Devi through the heart of Jagannath Mishra. This is the mystery of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Consequently, one should not think of Lord Chaitanya's appearance as that of a common man or a living entity. This subject matter is a little difficult to understand, but for devotees of the Lord, it will not at all be difficult to realize the statements given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, it's a nice purport. There's a lot in it. I've sort of focused a little bit on this, the difficulty to understand the birth of Krishna the activities. Janma karma cheme divyam evang yo veti tatvataha taktva dehang punarjanma naiti mang eti sorjana. So the divine nature of these pastimes is a little difficult to grasp, because you can see that even in this purport, in one sense it seems to be indicating that the birth is divine in the sense that it was a transfer from the mind of Vasudev or from Jagannath Mishra, either one, to their partner. It was a mental transfer, or a heart-to-heart transfer. But then in another place, Baladeva Vibhushana explains that that it is being saying that it's the heart of Devaki means he was transferred to the womb of Devaki. So by our Western tendencies or conditioning, we might say, well, which one is it? And actually, Prabhupada doesn't even attempt to... he doesn't exactly choose one or the other. He indicates that both things are possible, or that both things are true. Therefore, we have this statement. We should not ever think that Lord Chaitanya's appearance is something ordinary or mundane. And it says that... What does he say? He says that it's a little difficult. A little difficult to understand. So, there's an interesting... I found this interesting statement in Chaitanya Bhagavat concerning this... this topic. I hope it'll be stimulate some discussion. This is from the chapter, second chapter of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, or Adi Kanda as it's called. Text 12. The verse is Hena Krishna Chandrera Durgyeya Avatar Tana Kripa Vinne Kara Shakti Jani Bhar. Lord Krishna's incarnations are very difficult to understand. Who has the power to understand them without his mercy? So this purport is by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He writes, the pastimes of Krishna are completely incomprehensible for people who are overwhelmed by the knowledge acquired through their material senses. So that means most of us. Material scholars do not accept the Lord of all energies and incarnations of Vishnu, Krishna, as the source of the omnipotent four-handed Narayana. Rather, they consider him a political hero. I'll start that sentence again. Material scholars do not accept the Lord of all energies and incarnations of Vishnu, Krishna, as the source of the omnipotent four-handed Narayana. Rather, they consider him a political hero and an ordinary historical descendant of the Yadu dynasty. In other words, rather than understanding Krishna as the absolute truth and cause of all causes, due to their material conceptions, they consider him an ordinary living entity with a material form and one of various objects of material enjoyment. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna appears in this world, all the occasional Leela avatars combine in this form. So that means when Krishna or Lord Chaitanya appear in this world, all the incarnations appear with him. So that's quite a few extraordinary personalities all in one. It says, this fact is also extremely incomprehensible. I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta is flatly saying that to understand how this is so, even though we may literally understand the statement, he says this fact that all the Leela avatars combine in that one form, he says this fact is extremely incomprehensible. Without the mercy of Krishna, one can never understand the science of Krishna by his own endeavor. Only that person to whom Krishna Chandra has mercifully revealed his pastimes has attained the fortune to worship him. In this regard, one may discuss the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3 that begins Jnani Prayasam Udapasya. So this verse figures very importantly in various places in Prabhupada's writings. And I've combined some of it or compiled some of these statements because the theme, obviously, I'm sort of developing a theme here, and that is the without the mercy of Krishna, without the mercy of Guru and Krishna, it's impossible to really understand Krishna's pastimes. Even though we certainly hear them, we certainly may relish them, but as far as total comprehension, basically Bhaktisiddhanta has stated that it's more or less incomprehensible unless one has achieved that mercy. So the verse goes, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya bharatam shtane shtita. You usually hear Prabhupada especially quote these lines. Shtane shtita shruti gatang tanuvan manobhir ye prayasho jita jito pyasi taistrilokyam. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord Krishna, a devotee who abandons the path of empiric philosophical speculation aimed at merging in the existence of the Supreme, so he one who abandons that path, and engages himself in hearing your glories and activities from a bona fide sadhu or saint, and who lives an honest life in the occupational engagement of his social life, can conquer your sympathy. So this is interesting phrasing also. He can conquer your sympathy. How do you conquer sympathy? Anybody? It says, in other words, you can invoke Krishna's sympathy by such engagement in hearing the glories and activities of the bona fide, from a bona fide sadhu or saint, by hearing seriously and sincerely. One can achieve the sympathy or overwhelm the heart of the Lord and he becomes sympathetic. So really that's our only chance, is to get Krishna's sympathy. So anyway, it goes on. I'm interrupting the verse, I'm sorry. Who lives an honest life in the occupational engagement of his social life can conquer your sympathy and mercy even though you are ajita or unconquerable. So Krishna cannot be conquered. But you could say Krishna's kryptonite is this loving sentiment. He becomes conquered by one who follows this formula that's mentioned here in this verse, in the 14th chapter of 10th canto, 3rd verse. When Prabhupada comments, that is the path of the Paramahamsas, which was personally followed by Lord Brahma, and later recommended by him for attaining perfect success in life. So this comes from the Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 9th chapter, citing this particular verse. Here's another one. The word swadharmang, as in swadharmang anutishtitam, indicates that the system of varnashram, which indicates the occupational duties of the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and which is the perfect institution for humanity, must be supported by bhakti yoga if one at all wants security in life. Generally, people think that simply by executing the occupational duties of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, or the duty of a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi, one becomes fearless or securely attains liberation. So that's the theory. That's the theory. That if you follow those duties of those different categories, one becomes, it says, fearless or securely attains liberation. But factually, unless all these occupational duties are accompanied by bhakti yoga, one cannot become fearless. In Bhagavad Gita, there are descriptions of karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. But unless one comes to the point of bhakti yoga, these other yogas cannot help one attain the highest perfection of life. In other words, bhakti yoga is the only means for liberation. We find this conclusion also in Chaitanya Charitamrita in a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai regarding a human being's liberation from this material world. In that discussion, Ramananda Roy referred to the execution of Varnashram Dharma. And Lord Chaitanya indicated that the Varnashram Dharma was simply external, eho bhaya. He wanted something more. Lord Chaitanya wanted to impress upon Ramananda Roy that simply by executing the duties of Varnashram Dharma, one is not guaranteed liberation. Finally, Ramananda Roy referred to the process of Bhakti Yoga, Shtane Shtita Shuti Gatang Tanuvan Manobhi. This is from that verse that we just cited in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, 3rd verse. Shtane Shtita Shuti Gatang Tanuvan Manobhi. Regardless of one's condition in life, if he practices Bhakti Yoga, which begins with hearing Shuti Gatam, the transcendental messages of the Lord through the mouths of devotees, he gradually conquers the unconquerable God. So the only means to conquer Krishna or to win Krishna's favor is this process, hearing and practicing, hearing about Krishna and practicing Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada further comments here, God is known to be unconquerable, but one who submissively hears the words of a self-realized soul's, one who submissively hears the words of a self-realized soul conquers the unconquerable. The conclusion is that if one is serious about liberation, he not only should execute the occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma, but should also engage in Bhakti Yoga by beginning hearing from a realized soul. This process will help the devotee conquer the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his associate after giving up the material body. So this is the process. Hearing about Krishna from a self-realized soul. Little section was from the 4th canto, 24th chapter, 53rd verse. And this next verse is from the 4th canto also. Very nice section. Yavat te mayaya sprishta brahmama iha karmabhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyan no bhave bhave. So I believe this is the prayers of the Prachetas. They say, Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination, and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life, in different bodily forms, on in different planets. So this is a very nice prayer, humble prayer. They're saying that as long as we have to be in this place, this miserable place, due to our own faults, due to our material contamination, and we're having to wander from one body to the next, one planet to the next, we just ask for one thing. So what is the one thing they ask? That we may get this benediction, that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Lava Macha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Koi. So this association with elevated souls and hearing about Krishna, this is the key to gaining the ultimate goal of the human form of life. Prabhupada writes a nice purport. He said, this is the best benediction that a devotee can ask of the Supreme Lord. So sometimes we want to ask for a benediction when we meet a saintly person or when we're praying. He says, this is the best thing to pray for, that we can have this association of elevated devotees. This is also confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shtane Shtita Shruti Gatang Tanuvan Manobi. One may be in one position or another according to destiny. So we're presently in this position, but who knows what the next one will be. According to destiny. But in any case, one may continue to hear about the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, regardless of circumstances. A pure devotee does not pray for liberation or for cessation of the cycle of birth and death. because he does not consider that important. Now, that's an interesting statement. They're not praying for liberation, and they're not praying for the cessation of birth and death. Of course, I think some of us do that. But anyway, it says that's not the best. The most important thing for a devotee is getting a chance to hear about the pastimes and glories of the Lord. The devotees who engage in the service of the Lord in this world will have the same opportunity in the spiritual world also. Thus, for a devotee, everything is in the spiritual world. For as long as he can hear about the pastimes of the Lord, or wherever he can chant, the Lord is personally present. So that means that if you're situated in this constant hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, you are in the spiritual world. That is the spiritual world. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhaktaha. When the pure devotees assemble to chant, hear, and talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the place where they assemble becomes Vaikuntha. I remember experiencing this years ago in Dallas. I was a relatively new devotee, and Prabhupada came to our temple. And, you know, in preparation, getting ready for him to come was always quite an anxious time, or at least anxious in the sense that there was so much to do. You know, there was always a smell of paint because everything was always getting repainted and various, so many different things were getting together in terms of reception. So there was a certain level of anxiety in the atmosphere. But once he arrived, all of a sudden there wasn't any anxiety. So we know that kunta means anxiety. Vaikuntha means where there is none. So that anxiety would vanish, and the whole temple seemed to change in character. When he arrived, it was as though, just as it's described here, it becomes like Vaikuntha. It's the same atmosphere I later experienced when I went to Vrindavan, when the whole of Vrindavan has this tremendous atmosphere. So the temple became like that, just by Prabhupada's presence, Vaikuntha. For the devotee, there is no need to pray to the Lord for transferal to the Vaikuntha world. A pure devotee can create Vaikuntha or Vrindavan anywhere simply by chanting the glories of the Lord without offense. So this chanting is the key. I'm mentioning just in passing. Please remember, this is not the Hari Bol movement. It's not the Nitai Gaur movement even. It's the Hare Krishna movement. So sometimes kirtans get a little heavy laden with other kinds of chants. But this is the main chant. Hare Krishna. Yeah. The prachetas pray for an opportunity to hear of the glories of the Lord in every form of life. Bhave, bhave. A living entity transmigrates from one body to another. The devotee isn't, this is another interesting statement. Listen to this one. The devotee is not particularly eager to stop this process. I don't know. It's a very elevated sentiment. I think most of us think, boy, I'd like to get out of this situation. But here it says, in this transmigration process, a devotee is not particularly eager to stop this process. So that's the elevated devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwade Bhavatat Bhakti Rohitaki Twayi. My dear Lord, life after life, may I be fixed in your pure devotional service. Out of humility, a devotee considers himself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. So this is his description of the proper mentality of a devotee. He thinks, I'm not fit to be there. So maybe I'll continue where I am and do what I can. I just think it's kind of almost counterintuitive, some of these statements, but it's really a kind of an inspiration, I think. It says, he always thinks himself contaminated by the modes of he considers himself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. He thinks himself contaminated by the modes of material nature. I think this is fairly easy meditation for most of us, that we're not fit and that we're contaminated by the modes of nature. This is something we can easily meditate upon. Devotional service itself is in the transcendental position. Therefore, there is no question of asking for this special facility. The conclusion is that a pure devotee is not anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death, but is always eager to associate with other devotees who are engaged in chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord. So that's the focus, sadhu sangha. That is from the fourth canto, 30th chapter, 33rd verse, and purport. And just one more from the teachings of Lord Kapila. This is from the 30th verse in the 13th chapter of the of that book. My Lord, this is a quote. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Even if one speculates for many years, he cannot understand Krishna. One has to receive the mercy of Krishna through the spiritual master, and this is the path recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shtane shtita sruti gata tanuvan manobhi. And another name for Krishna is Ajita. No one can conquer Krishna, but Krishna can be conquered by his devotee. One should be submissive and say, so if you feel like it, you can repeat this. This is a nice meditation. Krishna, I am very poor. I have no means to understand you. Please be merciful upon me. Please allow me to understand you and surrender. So this is Prabhupada giving a little formula here. One should be submissive and say, Krishna, I'm very poor. I have no means to understand you. Please be merciful upon me. Please allow me to understand you and surrender. This is wanted. Krishna is very merciful. And when he sees that someone has surrendered, he will help from within. So I'll just say that again. Krishna is very merciful, and when he sees that someone has surrendered, he will help from within. So this this is a theme that comes out pretty strongly in the discussion of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Krishna's pastimes, that well, because, you know, if you go back to that verse, janma karma chaime divyam, these things are divine, divyam. And one who understands them doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. Or we could say, by what we've read, one will be in the spiritual world if he really understands these things and is absorbed in hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. So this is the theme that we have to invoke the mercy of the Lord by our activities, by our practical service, by our sincere efforts. Krishna may become pleased. We may gain his sympathy. What does it say? What wasn't gain his sympathy? What did it say? Conquer his sympathy. I mean, that's kind of a nice meditation too. You're trying to, you know how sometimes children are very good at this. They want something. And so they behave in such a pathetic and way that you feel sorry for them. You think, all right, all right. So we're trying to get Krishna's sympathy. Please, Krishna, I'm like in that prayer Prabhupada was citing. He was saying, I'm very poor. You know, basically, I'm very fallen. I'm very low. Please be kind to me and let me understand you. So, of course, it can't just be lip service. There has to be practical activity. There has to be practical activity and service. We see that these devotees that Prabhupada praised were the ones who were very actively using their creative ingenuity spread this movement. He was very pleased by those people who used that kind of creative ingenuity to figure out the ways and means to broadcast Krishna consciousness. Not that we're meant to be a movement of sheep. We're meant to use our intelligence, our creativity, our assets, whatever assets we may have, to please the spiritual master, to please Krishna. So it's not just a passive activity, but rather there has to be serious effort. And then if we're lucky, we get that mercy. So any questions, comments, questions?